I ask you please to turn now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and then keep your finger over in James chapter 1, because we're going to go directly over there here in just a moment. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 says this: "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Verse 18 says again, "Take care then how you hear." Pay attention to how you listen is the idea. "For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." And turn over, if you would please, to James chapter 1. And as you find your way there, let's bow together for prayer. Lord, thank you for the things that we are seeing today, the things that we're being reminded of. Lord, how we all need to hear it. Lord, how I need to be reminded of it. Lord, how I want to be the right kind of listener to your word. I want to take care, Lord, in how I hear. And Lord, when I look at my own life, and I'm sure my brothers and sisters will join with me in agreeing, I see many times, Lord, when I have known more in my head than what I'm practicing at any given moment in my life. And Lord, we don't want to be that kind of people. We don't want to just be hearers who are self-deceived. Lord, we want to be doers. We hunger, Lord, not only for an intellectual knowledge of the truth, we hunger more for an experiential knowledge of the truth. That we would learn the truth, Lord, in fellowship with you. That we would learn the truth in loving you and walking with you. That we would be a people who walk in the pathway of your word. So, Lord, use our time tonight, I pray, to encourage us in that direction. To strengthen us and fortify us in our desire, Lord, to be a right kind of listener. And to expose and to correct us, Lord, wherever we haven't been that. Bring our sin, Lord, to our attention that we might repent of it and turn to you in a fresh way. Lord, we pray for any in this room who are not truly listeners at this point. They have not yet been brought forth through the Word of God, through the Word of truth, through the Gospel. We pray that even tonight, Lord, you would bring someone to yourself through faith in your Son, Jesus. And we ask for this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today we're considering the question, what kind of a listener are you? Jesus told us in Luke 8:18, be careful, take heed how you hear, how you listen, the manner of your listening. And so we began this morning talking about how do you listen carefully? How do you walk in what Jesus has just given us as instruction? He commands us to be the right kind of listener. Well, how do you do that? And this morning we mentioned three things in the large headings. First of all, we said be sure that you are a person who's able to listen. That is, be sure that you're born again. Be sure that you have been made by God's grace and through salvation in Jesus Christ, that you've been made a person to whom the Word of God is now your food. You're not able to receive the Word of God if you're not a person of the Word of God. Verse 18 of James chapter 1 says, of His own will, of God's sovereign will, He brought us, you see, the children of God, He brought us forth. He gave us birth. How? By the Word of truth. It's a work of the Spirit, but not apart from the Gospel. It's a work of the Spirit, but not apart from the truth. So with the truth, He made us a people of the truth. With the truth, through the new birth, He made us a people for the truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. So be sure that you're in the position to be able to hear the Word of God. That you have ears to hear. That you're born of God. That you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you're a new creation. That the Holy Spirit dwells in your life. Second, if you want to listen carefully, be sure that you're a person who has a teachable spirit. Verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ready to listen, not talking while we're supposed to be listening, but really a listener and not made angry when the Word of God exposes our wrong. Not seeking to justify ourselves, but rather what we're aiming at is what God requires. And what God requires is righteousness. Verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. You ever think about why? I mean, I'm sure from a lost person's point of view, they would look at the believer and say, you know what, you folks are all caught up and tied up in all this idea about purity. I mean, today, Richard, from the preaching of God's Word, he's talked about, you know, watching out for purity in speech and watching out for what you put into your mind and what you dwell on in your heart. And, you know, you guys are all caught up in this idea of purity. Why are you all caught up in that? Well, listen, beloved, whatever God identifies as righteousness is right. And whatever God identifies as sin is sin. That's why it matters. Why should we be careful about what we say? Because the Word of God indicates there is speech that is edifying and pure and grace imparting, and there is speech that is sinful, crooked, wicked, destructive. God's the one who's identified that. God's the one who has said, this is the kind of speech that I approve of, and this is the kind of speech that I don't approve of. That's why what comes out of our mouth is important to believers. This morning I made mention of fornication, that is, a sexual relationship prior to marriage. It's sin. I know our culture doesn't say it's sin, but the Bible says it's sin, which is to say, God says it is sin. Why should sexual purity matter to people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because our God has identified for us what is righteousness in the realm of sexual practice and what is wickedness. Why should it matter to us that we live sober lives? I mentioned drunkenness this morning. Why should it matter that we not be drunk in any way, that we live sober lives? Why is that important? Because God in His Word has identified drunkenness as sin. Not some kind of pleasure for you to enjoy in private. You say, well, I don't get drunk in public, I just get drunk in private. Well, isn't it interesting? He didn't demarcate, did He, between private drunkenness and public drunkenness. Whether it's in private or it's in public, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's God's Word. God leads us not in an inebriated state. He leads us to live our lives in a sober state. Because there's important stuff going on all the time in our lives, and we're to be alert to it. So be sure that you have a teachable spirit, and this means that you're ready to listen, you're not speaking against what you're hearing, and when the Word of God exposes your sin, you're not angry about it, because what you're after is not what you want in your flesh, but what God requires, and what He requires is righteousness, and He is the standard of righteousness. What's right? What's wrong is not what you think is right and wrong, not what I think is right and wrong, not what the culture says is right or wrong, but what God has identified as right or wrong. Third, we said this, if you want to listen carefully, be sure that you're a person who has prepared the soil of your heart. The heart has to be prepared for the Word of God to be implanted. How is the heart prepared? Verse 21, we put away all filthiness, that which is morally defiling. We put away rampant wickedness, that stubborn sin that wants to hang on, that which is not so clearly identified in the realm of men, but that which we and God know about in our hearts. Sin outward, sin inward, sin public, sin private. We want to deal with all of our sin and put it away. There has to be humility. We receive with meekness, with humble gentleness, right? Not fighting against the truth, but God, just show me where you want me to go and I'm easily directed. Listening for the Word of God to be implanted in my soul. Not just lodged in my mind, but implanted in my soul, affecting the atmosphere of my life from the inside out. Being transformed from the inside out. And understanding what is at stake, into verse 21, which is able. The Word of God has the ability to save your souls. That's important stuff. Important enough that I ought to prepare my heart when I'm going to the place where God's people meet to hear the Word of God proclaimed. Now tonight we left off there, we begin tonight with a fourth area that he identifies that's necessary to being the right kind of listener. And you see it in verses 22 and 23. It says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." If you want to listen carefully, be sure, here's the principle, be sure that you're listening for action. When you come to hear the Word of God, or if you sit to read the Word of God, wherever you are that you're being exposed to the truth of God's Word, ask yourself this, are you engaging the text for the purpose of action? Not just a listener, he says. Because if you're just a listener, if you're an auditor, if you consider yourself someone who hears sermons, but you're not responsible to do anything with them beyond hearing them, he says, if that's you, you are deceived. And who's deceiving you, according to verse 22? Who's deceiving you? You are deceiving you. You see, you are congratulating yourself for something that is not worthy of congratulation. Am I not doing a good thing, preacher, by coming every Sunday and listening? Am I not doing a good thing by putting myself under the hearing of the Word of God? Listen, if you come just to listen, but you're not going to do anything with what you hear, then you are engaged in something that is going to result, that is resulting in self-deception. You're going to feel like you're doing what God requires of you, when in fact you're falling short of what God requires of you. Not just a listener, but a doer, he says. Be doers of the word. Practitioners. Putting it into practice. He gives an analogy in verse 23. He says, if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, here's what he's like. He's like a man who looks intently. I want you to notice that. He looks intently. He looks carefully at his natural face in a mirror. Imagine a man standing before a mirror. He takes a good, honest look at what he sees. Now, I think sometimes we congratulate ourselves right there. We say, listen, I study God's Word carefully. I look at it intently. I'm actually paying attention to what it says. I'm actually listening during the sermon. I take notes. But you notice what this man does, verse 24? He looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Is that possible? Has anybody here been getting ready to go somewhere and look at yourself in a mirror and walk away only to return and look again No one does that, right? We've all done that, haven't we? Why? You can't remember. I mean, you took an honest look, you took a good look, but you just want to be sure because you know you have the capacity to forget. You can look at yourself in a mirror and walk away and forget what you saw. Well, that's what it's like when you look, verse 25, into the perfect law. The law of liberty. You see, the Word of God that sets people free. A law that sets people free. When you just look at this perfect mirror, and it is a perfect mirror, it will show you you as you've never seen you before. It will expose you for who you really are. If you look intently into it, you're going to see your spiritual face. You're going to see yourself as you really are. But if all you do is look at it, if all you do is listen to it, and you don't take any action, you're deceiving yourself. That is not the end for which God gave you His Word. Verse 25 goes on to say, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, he continues, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who, what's the next word? Acts, right? I mean, you take action. He will be blessed in His doing. That's where God's blessing is at, you see? God's blessing is not in the hearing, if that's all you do. God's blessing is where there is hearing and there is action. There's doing. So if you want to take heed how you listen, you need to be a person who listens for action. You say, well, what does that mean practically? It means that you're engaging the text. Whether it's being spoken, in this case we're preaching it, declaring it, or whether you're reading it, you are engaging the Word of God. You do that, for instance, by asking questions. All right, as you listen to a sermon or as you read the Word of God, you ought to ask this kind of question. What will what I'm hearing right now, what will it mean in practical terms for my life? If I'm going to be someone who's a careful listener, all right, I'm hearing the sermons today. If I'm going to be someone who practices what I'm hearing today, what will change? What is God calling for to change in my everyday life? That's one kind of question you want to think about. Another kind of question is this. What steps of action are called for immediately in my life? What does God want to change in me? Now, once I understand what has to change, what steps of action should I take right now to cooperate with what God is showing me, to walk in what God is teaching me, to practice what I'm hearing? So to be an active listener, to be ready to act on what I hear, I'm asking questions, I'm engaging the text, I'm meditating on what I'm hearing, I'm thinking about how to apply it. There's something else I'm doing, though. It also means that I'm ready to do something right now. Not just think about it, but take action. I'm going to tell you what I think happens in so many cases in our lives. I think what we do is we stop with conviction. We hear the Word of God and we feel convicted. And we think that's the goal of preaching. You ever heard someone say something like this? Boy, preacher, you did your job today. I mean, you walked all over my toes. Is that the end of the job? I felt convicted. My heart was moved. Maybe even moved to tears. Folks, in 27 years of ministry, I can tell you, I've seen people move to tears whose lives don't change one whit after they've heard what they've heard. No, the goal is not just conviction. The goal is change. The goal is obedience. Obedience, obedience, walking in what we hear. And what happens to us sometimes is we think that that God has done His job and we have done our job as listeners because we've acknowledged that we've been convicted by the sermon or convicted by the text that we're reading. It's not just informing the mind. It's not just touching the heart. It is transforming behavior that is the goal of the Word of God. If there is sin, there ought to be repentance. And where there is repentance, there's a turning away from my sin to actually follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk a new course, to head in a new direction. If you want to be a good listener, if you want to be the right kind of listener, listen to take action. Thinking about what we've heard today, here are some things you might want to think about. You might want to take an honest examination of how you've been listening lately. Maybe you've already done that today. Lord, have I really been listening? And really examine yourself about that. If we were to consider what we've heard today, we would think about something like this. Lord, what sins are getting in the way of my hearing? I mean, if getting rid of sin is necessary to prepare my heart to hear the Word of God, and if lately my heart has been dull toward the truth, then what are those sins, Lord, that I need to put away to prepare the soil of my heart? To put this into practice means you're not going to cut yourself any slack about your spiritual laziness. Have you been spiritually lazy? Have you come into this place unprepared? If you're being honest with yourself today, is it true that you've devoted very little prayer to preparing your heart to receive God's Word? You've invested very little self-examination to put away sin to prepare your heart. You know of things that you ought to be taking action in, but you've not done it, so that you have been spiritually lazy in terms of preparing yourself to receive the truth. If that's true, are you going to cut yourself some slack and say, oh well, nobody's perfect, had a rough couple of weeks? Or will you say, you know what, there's nothing more important in all the world than God and His Word. I've got to deal with this. So practically it would mean prayer, preparation, a change of perspective for the very next sermon you hear. Did you come in here tonight different than you came in here this morning because of what you heard this morning? You see, that's one way you can examine. Am I actually doing something with this? We can hear sermons about gossip, but if we walk right out in gossip, we've not heard it. We can hear sermons about forgiveness, but if we walk out of here with unforgiveness, and there's still someone we hold a grudge against, and there's still something we're holding them to pay back on, then we've not heard it. We're not really hearing it. If we've heard the Word of God about moral purity, but we walk right outside these doors and keep doing the same things we've been doing, then we haven't been listening to Scripture. Listen to take action. Here's a fifth thing. You see it in verses 24 and 25. I just want to underscore it. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and, keyword, perseveres. Keeps on looking and keeps on walking. Keeps on looking and keeps on remembering, keeps on looking and keeps on living. That is, here's the fifth thing. Be sure, if you want to be the right kind of listener, be sure that you're listening for long-term action. We're procrastinators in sin. I mean, that's our sinful nature, to put things off. So sometimes we don't take action, right? How many diets have we started on Mondays? You know, I'm going to start that tomorrow. I'm going to begin working out next week, Monday, whatever the case may be. We're procrastinators. But another thing that we do in our sinful flesh is we start things we don't finish. We start things and we fall away. And we start things and we don't see them through. And we start things and we don't continue on. And we do that in the most important realm of all, in our walk with God. If we want to be the right kind of listener, we're listening to walk in what we hear and to keep on walking in what we've heard. We remember, you see? For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. He perseveres, verse 25, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He will be blessed in his doing. So to take everything we've seen so far today, and let me turn it around now the other direction. What gets in the way of us benefiting from preaching? What gets in the way of us benefiting from reading the Bible? Well, if you're a lost listener, you're not going to benefit from Scripture. If you're a worldly listener, if you're not dealing with the sin in your life, even though you're saved, if you're a worldly listener, you're not going to benefit from Scripture. If you're a lazy listener, if you don't prepare the soil of your heart to receive the truth, you won't get maximum benefit from Scripture. If you're an inactive listener, if you listen just to listen, but you don't listen to act, you don't listen to do, you're not going to be blessed in your doing. And if you're a forgetful listener, if you hear and maybe even you begin to take action, but before long you forget and you go back to the things you were doing before, then you're not going to benefit from Scripture. George Whitfield, I mentioned this morning, he preached a sermon on this text, on Luke chapter 8, verse 18. And in his sermon, he gave some practical advice for listening to sermons. Listen to what he says. Number one, he said, come and hear not out of curiosity, but from a sincere desire to know and do your duty. Right? I mean, God, I just want you to show me what you want from me, and this is where I'm going to learn it. I'm going to learn it from the Word of God. So I come not out of curiosity, but to learn and then to do my duty. Second, not only prepare your hearts before you hear, but also give diligent heed to the things that are spoken from the Word of God. And he gave this illustration. He said, if an earthly king was to issue out a royal proclamation on performing or not performing the conditions therein contained, the life or death of his subjects entirely depended. Right? An earthly king, he says, I'm giving you a set of conditions. If you do them, you'll live. If you don't, you'll die. How solicitous would they be to hear what those conditions were? I mean, they would be ready listeners, wouldn't they? He goes on to say, and shall not we pay the same respect to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and lend an attentive ear to his ministers when they are declaring in his name how our pardon, peace, and happiness may be secured? What's going on in preaching? We are declaring the king's terms for pardon, for peace, for prosperity in the spiritual realm. How should we be listening to the king as he declares his terms to us? Come preparing your hearts to hear and giving diligent heed to the things that are spoken from the Word of God. Third, he says not to entertain any the least prejudice against the minister. That is, if you hold a grudge in your heart toward the preacher, you're not going to be able to hear what he preaches. If you hold prejudice against the person speaking the Word of God, you won't hear the Word of God from them and through them. And he stresses, you've got to realize something, the preacher is a redeemed person just like you are. That is, we're just men. As someone has said many, many times, even the best of men are men at best. And so when you expect perfection, when you expect someone to live up to a standard that was only possible for the Lord Jesus Himself, and you begin to hold things in your heart toward the ones who bring to you the Word of God, because they failed in some way, or they've hurt you in some way, or they've fallen short in some way, it's going to affect your listening. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. Understand their instruments. Just instruments. Clay jars through whom the Lord does His work. Which gets to the fourth thing He says. He says, be careful not to depend too much on a preacher. Or think more highly of him than you ought to think. On the one hand, you don't understand he's human, so you hold things against him because he has his issues just like you do. On the other end of the spectrum, you don't understand he's human, so you deify him. And in fact, folks, listen, especially in this day of internet access, CDs, and all the rest, we have to be careful of making celebrities out of preachers. And this is so hard for me to express, but I hope I can get it out the way I want to, and I want you to hear me on this. Just like God put the stars in the heavens, and some shine brighter than others, they're not all exactly the same, yet they all demonstrate the glory of God. So God has chosen to gift people differently. And we are wrong not to recognize those differences and to give glory to God for those differences. Folks, for example, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. That guy was different. He was unique. Would you agree with that? If you've read his sermons, he was unique. Now listen, we are not going to honor God by denying that uniqueness, or not being thankful for it, or not benefiting from it. It has bothered me to be in the presence of young preachers who run down a Charles Haddon Spurgeon as if they are his equal. And thank God in that particular case I'm thinking of right now, he allowed me to hold my tongue. Because what I want to say to that young man is, son, you haven't even cut your teeth yet. And who are you to critique Charles Haddon Spurgeon? I was so pleased that so many of our young people and adults got to go hear John MacArthur at youth camp this year. You know why? I believe that John MacArthur is the Charles Haddon Spurgeon of this generation. I might be wrong about that, but that's my estimation of John MacArthur. God has used that man in my life in an enormous way. I'll always thank God for him and be grateful for him. Can't get any higher in my estimation than John MacArthur. No one I would rather hear preach than John MacArthur, especially if he's preaching to preachers. That's awesome. But having said that, here's the danger. If God meant everyone just to listen to Charles Spurgeon or John MacArthur, you wouldn't have all these men who are called to preach the gospel. And if we think that God only speaks to a handful of men by the declaration of His Word, what are we not going to do? We're not going to really listen when that average, common, not as gifted guy gets up to declare God's Word. You see, the reason why we listen ultimately is not because of the instrument, but because of the message. And whose message is it? It's God's message. So thank God for John MacArthur, but John MacArthur's just an instrument. Don't denigrate him. Thank God for him, but don't deify him. Because he's still just a preacher. And if we believe what God's Word says about preachers, He's chosen to use foolish things to confound the wise. Not many wise, not many noble, not many strong, but the weak, the foolish, and the disrespected. This is what God uses because the glory belongs to the God who has saved you, who teaches you, who develops you. You see, He's just using these clay jars to do His work in your life, so that all praise be to Him. Fifth, he said this, make a particular application of everything that is delivered to your own hearts. Make a particular application of everything that's delivered to your own hearts. So whatever's being taught, you don't want to listen to it in general terms. You want to hear it in specific terms. What does this mean to my own life? What does this mean to my own heart? I don't want to just apply it to Christendom. I want to apply it to this Christian. Sixth, and the last thing, when you hear His Word preached, pray to Him both before, in, and after every sermon to endue the minister with power to speak and to grant you a will and ability to put in practice what He shall show from the book of God to be your duty. Pray for God to empower that preacher before he preaches, while he's preaching, and after he's done. Because he's going to show you from the book of God what is your duty. Now look back at Luke chapter 8, and we're going to finish this up. Luke chapter 8. We've seen the word of instruction. Take care then how you hear. Now we come to the word of warning. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. First question we asked this morning is, how can you be the right kind of listener? The second question is, how do you know that you are the right kind of listener? How do you know you are the right kind of listener? Well, there's the possession of real knowledge. You'll notice in this verse, there are people who have, and there are people who have not. Right? Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not. So you have someone who has, and someone who has not. We can say it another way, from the same verse. There are those who really have, and there are those who only think they have. Because he says in the same verse, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. So you have someone who really has, and you have someone who only thinks that he has. What does that mean? It means to some, there has been salvation so that God has given to them real knowledge. To others, they've been exposed to truth, but there hasn't been salvation, so all they have is superficial knowledge of the truth, and eventually they will discover they don't have what they think they have. What is real knowledge? Real knowledge involves learning truths. There's no doubt about that. I mean, are you growing in knowledge? Are you growing in the breadth of your understanding of God's Word? Are you growing in the depth of your understanding of God's Word? Real knowledge involves learning truth. Where there's real knowledge, you hold the truth in humility. We saw that in James chapter 1. If you're really learning the truth, it humbles you. It lowers you in your estimation. It exalts God in your estimation. You become more and more aware of God's grace to you. You become more and more aware of God's mercies to you. You are impressed by God's character, by God's ways. You are compassionate toward the lost and toward your brothers and sisters and their needs because you realize how gracious God has been to you in your own case. You're being transformed in your heart. Your attitudes are changing, you see. There's humility present. Something else is you're learning truth in the realm of love. You're learning truth in the realm of loving God and loving others. 1 Corinthians 8 is where I get this from. Verse 1, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. Someone who says, oh, I know. There's someone who doesn't know. Where there's real knowledge, there's humility. Where there's real knowledge, there is love. Where there's real knowledge, we saw in James, there is an applying of what you're hearing. Now, this is the person who really has it. This is a person who's really been saved. They're growing, they're learning, and it's in humility, and it's in love, and it's in practice. Furthermore, not only is there the presence of real knowledge, there's a perseverance in it and a progress in it. Because notice again what he says in verse 18. He says, the one who has it, more will be given to him. And the one who doesn't have it, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. The person who has real knowledge because they have real salvation, you know what happens? God didn't just give them knowledge through His grace and salvation. He goes on giving them. He goes on teaching them. In fact, they have a resident truth teacher. And He goes on teaching them His Word, so they're making progress in the truth. They're persevering in the truth. Oh, there'll be times they grow more than others. There'll be times when they are dry and you would wonder if they're saved at all. But someone who really has the truth continues in the truth. And progresses in the truth and grows in the truth. But someone who only appeared to have it. Remember the parable He's just taught, right? The parable of the soils. The sower. And so you have a soil, the seed is snatched away immediately, the hard and rocky soil. But then you have those two soils where there's this springing up of what looks like life, but because of persecution some goes away, and because of the cares of this world some fall away, and only where there's good soil is there a continuation in the truth, and there's much fruit. So there's a group of people. Now get this, God has given them something. You notice that in verse 18? He says to the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be what? Taken away. That means he has something. But what he has is different than the person who really has it. Where there's salvation, there's a salvation knowledge. Where there's not salvation, there's just a superficial knowledge. Oh, he's still been given truth. He's been exposed to light. But it hasn't been implanted in his heart. So that instead of continuing in the truth, what you see is a regression. A falling away from. An abandoning of what he was given. So that though he's acting and he's thinking and he's choosing, it is actually a form of judgment. As God takes away even what He thinks He has. Beloved, in the church you're going to see both kinds of people. They sit together on Sunday mornings, they sit together on Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights. Exposed to the same preachers, exposed to the same messages, exposed to the same Bible. And you're going to see some who have the truth because of God's saving grace, and despite all their ups and downs and all their failures and all their battles with sin, you're going to see them continue and progress and grow and be conformed to the image of Jesus. Some faster than others, some with more troubles than others, but they stick because they're saved. And then you're going to see some. They may even remain within the four walls of where churches meet. That doesn't mean they're born again. But when it comes to their response to the truth of God's Word, they don't hold on to it. They don't continue in it. They don't persevere in it. They don't progress in it. They pull away from it. They stand apart from it. At certain places where it's key and important to do it, to avoid persecution, they abandon the truth. To be able to pursue their worldly cares, they ignore the truth. So that every day, in a practical way, their choices are being played out on the stage of life in this world. They do not serve Jesus Christ, they serve their own interests. They do not serve Jesus Christ, as the Scripture would say, they serve their bellies. That is, they serve their desires. And if they would just pay attention to the Word they've been given, the difference between the two is evident. Those who pursue Christ, love Christ, know Christ. Those who pursue sin, pursue the world, are of the world. That's the warning. Be careful how you listen, because there's more than one kind of listener in the world. There's someone who has, and there's someone who doesn't. There's someone who's given more, and there's someone who even what they think they have is taken away. And Jesus says to you, be careful how you listen. What kind of listener are we? There are many things, and I will finish with this thought. There are many things in Scripture we're told to be careful about. Each of the things I'm going to mention ties in with what we've talked about today. It all has to do with listening. But in Joshua 22:5, we're told to be careful to obey what we hear. God said this, only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cling to Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You be careful to cling to God and obey Him. That has to do with listening, doesn't it? Ephesians 5:15 says this, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. You pay attention to your walk. That has to do with listening. Walk in wisdom. That has to do with listening. Proverbs 13:3 says this, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Be careful what you say. That has to do with instruction from God's Word, doesn't it? Be careful what you say. Butch read it earlier, Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. You be careful to believe God. You watch out for an evil, unbelieving heart. Some of the things we excuse, listen, it is far more evil than we imagine. Because what we're talking about is not believing God. Someone who's very dear to me, I've spoken to them all this past week about an area of sin in their life. As I said this morning, they live far away. But I've talked to them this week, and you know what? Listen, what they said to me, I'll pray about it. That was like a curse word. Folks, listen, when God's Word is clear about an issue, the only thing you ought to pray about is how you're going to obey it. When we say sometimes, I'm going to pray about it, well, here's what we're really saying. Please get out of my face. What a spiritual sounding way of rebellion toward the Lord. I'll pray about it. That is, I'm going to think about this, or I'm going to claim to be thinking about this while I go on in my disobedience. What is that? That's unbelief. Do we believe what the Word of God says? Deuteronomy 4:15 says, therefore watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware, lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. God says, I don't want you to make idols. I want you to be careful of idolatry. When I appeared to you, there wasn't a form. I am spirit. That's how I've revealed myself to you. You believe me when I tell you who I am. And don't make for yourself any other god. That has to do with listening. And finally, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Do we need to listen? Are we so strong that we don't need to listen? If we think we stand, be careful. That means you're ready for a fall. May God help us to take heed how we hear. All of His people would say, amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You've given us light. Lord, we were darkness before You brought us to Your Son. The world we live in is engulfed in darkness. Humanity, Lord, is engulfed in the darkness of his own spiritual ignorance and unbelief. And You took us, Lord, out of the domain of darkness. And You transferred us in the kingdom of Your Son, which is a kingdom of light. And You have given us the light of Your Word, not to hide it, but to proclaim it. Not to hide it, but to live it. And we confess tonight, Lord, that we stumble in so many ways, and yet it is our desire, all of us whom You've saved, all of us, Lord, who You've really given us the truth by Your grace, Lord, we desire not only to grow in our intellectual knowledge of it, but Lord, our experiential knowledge of it. We want to walk in the things you reveal to us. So Lord, where we are not doing that, reveal it to us that we might ask your forgiveness, that we might turn from our disobedience and walk in your truth, knowing that you require righteousness of us, Lord, and you will bless us as we do what you say. Lord, help us to be careful how we listen and how we live. And we ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.